All right, it's Build 2015, and as usual, we're going to get to talk about C++, native code, and also something really interesting that we learned about at Build, Objective-C, compiling in Visual Studio on Windows. So, without further ado, I want to have you guys introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about what you've done related to what I just said.
Okay, I'm Jim Radigan. I'm the dev manager for the C++ compiler. We hooked up the Clang front end to compile C++ and Objective-C and targeting the runtime that these guys are going to introduce themselves for.
And I'm Salman Ahmed. I am a program manager with the Windows team. And we basically took a lot of the work that Jim and team had done and really ran with it and built the great Objective-C support and solution we're introducing today.
I am a software engineer on the same team. I'm in charge of a lot of the implementation stuff for the frameworks and foundation kits.
Yep. And I'm Jaime Rodriguez. I'm actually an evangelist, so I'm not in the product team. I take what these guys do, and I try to help partners use these, you know, their technology to bring their products onto Windows and Windows Phone.
Awesome, man. Most recently, Candy Crush.
Yep.
Nice work.
You saw that at the keynote. So.
Right on. Absolutely. And I was running it on my Windows Phone 8.1 device, and I didn't realize it was actually the iOS app at that point.
Yep.
Thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
Brilliant work.
It runs fast. It runs, it's very stable. It's very fast. It's just a great experience.
Cool. So remember, you can ask questions out there. And the topic is compiling Objective-C on Windows using Visual Studio. It's also any question you might have for C++ backend. In fact, you guys finally solved the guard problem.
Oh, yeah.
Secure optimizations. So that's something we can talk about as well.
So the talk really was about two things. It's all the code generation technology that you can get right now in Visual Studio 2015, in addition to the runtime, which is going to be coming out, what, 2 days after we ship?
No. Nice.
At least one VS update cycle later.
Cool. So let's jump right into this.
Sure.
What's the name of this technology?
So we're calling this Project Islandwood.
Islandwood.
Islandwood. It's a lovely pedestrian bridge somewhere on Bainbridge Island, I believe. And so we commandeered that name, and that's what we're going
with. Because it's a bridge.
Because it's a bridge, exactly.
Yes.
It's a bridge. It's a way to get code you've already written that happens to be using Objective-C, but get that code onto the Windows platform.
Now, it happens to be Objective-C with a gigantic API underneath it. So, you know, core UI, core animation, blah, blah, blah. So you had to do translation there. I hear you've done some interesting things.
We prefer to think of it as an implementation of the platform, right? So we spent a lot of time implementing UIKit, making sure it all works together nicely. And it's not only UIKit, we spent a lot of time integrating Angle Project, which is used to implement OpenGL on top of Direct3D, which was used by the Candy Crush project. And it's one of the key reasons why we were able to ship it and why it's so fast on Windows platform.
Awesome. And so what actually is going on underneath that enables this binary rewriting, but what's going on?
So it's not rewriting binaries, it's actually compiling Objective-C code on Windows.
Yes.
And we've just implemented the things that need to be there for it all to come together nicely.
So what happens when Apple releases an updated UI kit?
Sure, you sort of have to remember the way iOS development works. When you're writing your app for iOS, there's sort of these two numbers at play. There's your target SDK, which is, you know, usually the latest version of the OS and the SDK that exists. But there's also this other notion called the base SDK. Mm. And that really lets you set the bounds. It lets you say, as a developer, I'm going to support iOS versions 6 through 8, or 5 through 8, or something like that. So most developers, to maximize the available market share, actually don't set their base SDK to be 8.2 or 8.0. So there's in fact, this sort of sliding window of time between sort of APIs being released and then being widely or completely adopted.
Understood. But there's still, my point was that you're still going to make changes to.
Oh, of course.
You're going to be following that train.
This is a 1.0 product right now, and as we go forward, we'll add support for more and more APIs. We'll have more features, more great compiler features especially.
Mm-hmm. So,
and to go back, nothing really happens because, for example, Candy Crush shipped. iOS, you know, can do two or three updates. They've done three or four in the last 4 months or something like that. It went patched. It got patched a lot.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter, right? In our case, we compile against native code. We ship native code. iOS is on a separate track, and your application doesn't break or anything like that. So you don't have to be on the fast train.
Excellent. Sweet. And you get because you're compiling an iOS
an app that was originally designed for iOS, since it's written in Objective-C and using all the underneath technologies, you can extend it to take advantage of, say, the Windows platform where it is going to be running.
Yep.
So you could have, you know, I'd like Cortana to help me play Candy Crush.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway.
No, that's actually a very good point. Because of the work Jim and team have done, you're compiling Objective-C using the same code gen as you are C++. That means you can call functions between Objective-C and C++ world without doing sort of ugly marshalling and unmarshalling of parameters. They're just function calls, and it's the same thing the other way. So yeah, you can absolutely lean on Cortana, on Inc, on Xbox APIs, all sorts of great stuff.
Cool. And when you do compile your Objective-C code in Visual Studio, you get all the optimization greatness that Jim and team has done, including the new guard technology and sort of, you know, really preventing a series of attacks.
Yeah, so, we think that's really an important value add, because one of the biggest things that we focused on in the Dev 14 timeframe, which is Visual Studio 2014, is security. So one of the things you'll be able to do is we supply a new switch that'll basically guard a lot of the control flow and check it. And we've modified the operating system, the OS loader, the linker, and the compiler for this, and it'll all be available in the Objective-C code that we generate. And we really plan to take that forward aggressively now that we've shipped Guard and we've got security as a part of the product.
Awesome. Hey, so we got questions, keep asking them. Arun wants to know, iOS capabilities might keep changing and their SDK will keep getting updated. We sort of already talked about. How do you plan to keep Windows updated to run those apps with new capabilities?
Well,
we sort of talked about
that.
Yeah,
we talked about that a little bit, but I do again want to remind people that, look, if you want to take advantage of some crazy new functionality, we have a great Windows Universal API surface. You can call right into that and it'll interoperate with the rest of your application.
Excellent. VS is cool. What about Swift? What about Swift? Do we support it as well?
We are not making any announcements.
Jim?
No. We are not making any announcements with respect to Swift today.
That's
Mr.
right.
Radigan.
I agree completely.
Cool. Okay. I do recommend people to watch Jim's talk, though.
Yeah.
Look at that slide. But no announcements. I'm just playing. I'm kidding. But you do have the Clang front end, right?
We yeah,
that's
we
the
do.
Whole point.
So we now, since we want to actually get full fidelity at the C++ level, because that's truly a cross-platform play across vendors. And then we want C2 at the bottom, because that's a cross-platform play within all the targets that we have for the Windows platform. So since you have Clang hooked up to our C2 code generator, you naturally get Objective-C, because the Clang front end will parse Objective-C.
Excellent. So Pavan wants to know, first of all, this is a great step forward. It definitely is. My question is, does it allow to recompile any iOS Objective-C code to Windows? Does anything get lost in translation? Also, how about UI?
Yeah, so we do support UIKit. That isn't to say it's absolutely perfect and we support every part of UIKit, but we have a pretty good support for most of what people use for UIKit, because we have taken a very pragmatic approach to implementing the frameworks that people use. What happens is our workflow is we take apps and we make them work. And when we do this to enough apps, enough stuff works, because we get enough surface area for testing, right? And nothing's really lost in translation, because we're not really translating anything. We're just implementing things that people rely on. And our compiler is Clang. It's exactly what everyone's used to. It just has a back-end code generator is different. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's a very, very strong optimizer and can give us everything for debugging in Visual Studio that developers want.
Well, look, man, I don't know about, I know Jaime uses Xcode when he writes apps. He's also a developer. I've tried to play around with Xcode. I much prefer Visual Studio, and not just because I work at Microsoft. It's a great IDE. It's a great experience as a developer. So I think, let's talk a little bit, since you're the businessman, I'm just kidding. You're not the businessman. You look like the businessman.
Still a developer at heart.
Yes, you are. So what do you think in terms of, like, the pattern of behavior is going to be amongst developers when it comes to using this technology? I mean, I'm an iOS guy. I have apps in the store, whatever. I only kind of focus on iOS. But now I might want to take a look at Windows. But it's still going to be a conceptual shift to come over to Windows and learn Visual Studio and learn Windows. And then
how do you see this workflow? Like, what's going to happen with this stuff?
Sure. Let's maybe get to that in one moment. I just want to add something very briefly to what Jordan said. One of the questions we get pretty often is around performance, and I think a side effect of what we've been saying today is that there's no strict reason why anything you write using Objective-C on Windows will be any slower than if it's written in C++ or the equivalent code running on equivalent hardware on an Apple iOS device.
Yeah, that's a really important point.
Yes.
Okay. It's native code. There's no translation.
There's no VM.
Implementation.
Cool.
Yeah, there's no VM. There's no emulator. You are running against the bare metal of the hardware with some incredible compiler optimization technology.
Absolutely.
And now I forgot your question, so I will.
my questions, as you guys all know, they tend to be long-winded. I think what I was saying was, what do you envision the workflow being?
Yes, that's right.
With so Jaime, you've worked technology. With.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I play, or we had a few partners play with it, you know, some more than King, et cetera, or some, you know, that we haven't announced yet. And what we see is this is a really great way for people to get started. You know, King was an interesting exercise where they kept saying, oh no, we think it's too much work. They had ported to Android, or their code was portable, but they had already done a lot of work in order to make it so portable. So they came and they kept thinking, oh, it's too much work, it's too much work. And we showed them a technology and they said, okay, that's worth a shot, right? And then when we did it, they were like, okay, this is great. And as you saw from the keynote, they're now going to do a lot more apps. And they're like, okay, now we understand the platform. Now we know what we can do. You know, it's OpenGL, so they can also use Angular natively. So they're like, okay, we're going to start moving towards the native path. But they would have never tried it had they not had this technology to get them there very quickly. They got there, they saw the users, they saw how the platform does, how it monetizes, and they were like, okay, good, let's go all in. So for us, you know, in evangelism, this is a really great way to get people started. People see it and they're like, oh, that makes it a lot easier. Now, I expect there'll be some people that said, hey, we'll keep, you know, we'll continue in Objective-C. And there'll be other people that said, oh, we will not go native as we dive into their next generation apps or as they do more. And for us, that's a perfect way to get started because we do want apps to be native. When you bring your Objective-C apps, we still want you to take advantage of live tiles, the local notifications. We do the in-app purchase for you. We swap those APIs so that it's seamless for you to do it. But there's a lot of other features, right? Cortana, there's a lot of other features we want people to take advantage of. And the way it's done in C++ right now, it's transparent. You can just start calling WinRT APIs and it's seamless.
Great.
Right? So we want you to take advantage of all that. And as you go through it, at some point you make the decision of, oh yeah, we're all native now.
One of the things too is that we want to make it frictionless. I think in your part of the talk, the demo really lit up the language services. We didn't get a chance to really dive into the language services, but you really did get full colorization and full language services to do the continue completion.
Yeah, auto completion, jump to declaration. Visual Studio is a great IDE, and we've just made it great for Objective-C as well.
Awesome. And C2 is a great back-end compiler.
Thank you.
It's an incredible back-end compiler.
We have a great team. The team is an amazing team for code generation and for security, and those two things together, I think, are a big, big deal. But I think going back to your point, the integration with Visual Studio is really powerful in that it makes it extremely low friction to move to use this.
Yep.
So we have a question from Martin, which is, I think WinPhone has a unique app design, but how do we get iOS apps to this experience? Metro, Tiles, et cetera?
Yeah, it's just what Jaime talked about.
Well, for games, it's seamless, right? Because games need to be consistent across platforms. Like, a game looks the exact same, whether it's Unity or, you know, this technology or any other technology, the games are, like, the exact same experience across the board. So there's no design patterns. With regards to UIKit, the implementation that they have right now does look a little bit iOS-ish. It's something that we'll have to look at it with regards to should it be theme and what is the best practice. Right now, because we're just getting started, partners are in control and they're making those decisions as they go with regards to how far they want to go on theming.
Interesting.
Or skinning, which would be the more appropriate instrument.
Shouldn't that be our problem to solve? So
it is. So if you are an iOS developer, you can already theme your UIKit controls. You can say, I want my buttons to be yellow instead of white.
Okay.
That's absolutely within your control. And we showed a little bit in the demo we did earlier today about how we can, in fact, customize the look and feel of various UI elements by default without you having to actually do anything. Mm. And another example of that is we can offer support, automatic support for back button integration. So if your app uses a standard UI navigation controller and you want to do nothing else, we can automatically plumb physical back button support onto backwards navigation. So we've done a lot of this work for you to make it really easy, but you can also customize the living hell out of it as well.
Awesome. Excellent. And of course, iOS's model is flat, right?
Yes.
They've flattened. So at least there's some work you don't have to do.
Yep.
Will there be a Windows emulator for iOS? I think that's a legal problem, not a technical problem.
Well, there's
right?
no reason to do the emulator because we're compiling directly.
Yeah.
We're generating code directly to the runtime, just like we would compile C++. Mm-hmm. So you could view your application running on Windows as a...
Exactly. It's important to emphasize that it's a Windows application.
Yes.
We compile it just as we would any other application on Windows. It just so happens that it's Objective-C.
Now, going back to the workflow sort of question was, if I'm an iOS developer today,
yes,
I've always been drooling and wanting Visual Studio and jealous of my friends who get to use it, and I know Java guys that are the same. So my point is, I think I'm trying to make, and I forgot what it was, which is what happens when you drink bourbon late at night.
So, we can't speak to Java, but we do have support for Objective-C within Visual Studio. We spent some time incorporating Clang Complete support for when you press dot, what happens? And Clang has an API that actually we were able to leverage to great effect for giving you information about what could happen in that context.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of success with that. And it also allowed us to navigate through the code, right? When you say, this token, I'm interested in what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Show me the definition of what this is. Or all these things are made possible by Clang being a very useful product.
Got it. I guess so. Going back to what I was trying to ask, I'm talking about going from Windows to an iOS device. So right now what we have is taking existing iOS and bringing it to Windows.
Yes.
But from a developer's perspective, I'm talking about the experience of writing code in Visual Studio and getting really nice design time.
Yeah, that's the cross-platform story. There was a talk here about that. And the idea is that you can write for Android, iOS, or Windows directly. And if you can compile out and run onto the metal, so to speak, for Objective-C, you can stay within Visual Studio on Windows doing your cross-platform development until you're ready to deploy. And that one last build would actually go through the brick to get you onto the iOS store.
And so that would be, but that would just be copying all your source code and all your files, bringing it over to Xcode, compiling, building, optimizing there, deploying, right?
My expectation is that people will generate Visual Studio projects for it and check those projects into their source repository. So they can make modifications however they like in Visual Studio, and then when they pull on their Mac computer, they can just build in Xcode and continue.
You got it. So that goes to the sort of that emulator question, right? You're not going to be deploying to an iOS device from Windows because that's illegal, or maybe that's not the reason.
It's not the problem we're trying to solve. The problem we're trying to solve is to help people write great Windows applications.
And not just games, Jaime. Sorry, brother.
And not just games, no. Not at all.
There's a lot of apps I'd love. Now, what about, this is interesting, because when you say not just games, as Jaime mentioned, games are really self-contained. They're an easier problem in some extent. But when you have an app that's very platform, ties into a bunch of the APIs that the hardware supports, how does that work when I want to bring those over? I know you said you've done a lot of work.
Yeah, so if we step back and just keep reminding ourselves that you are writing a Windows app, you're just using Objective-C for certain bits and bobs of that application.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can imagine all sorts of permutations stem from that. You could imagine writing your UI using XAML, but keeping some of the back-end logic, if you've got some fancy networking code you're really proud of and really works well, that can be Objective-C. You can bring that in and you can link the two together. You could go the other way. You could have your UI using Objective-C, and then you could have all the back-end Windows-y custom stuff in C# or C++. And again, you can tie all these things together. So you're not limited. You're not writing inside a sandbox. You're not limited to certain blessed Objective-C compatible APIs. You are writing a Windows application.
Awesome. So I can have Objective-C under HTML5
Ooh.
As a universal Windows app?
Someday.
Technically, technically you could, right? Because you could wrap it through NRT in the middle and then just call it from an HTML app. Like, that's the beauty of the ABIs. That's why we work so hard at that layer.
I mean, you can certainly invoke web views within the context of either an Objective-C iOS UI kit or XAML application.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there are no questions, which I find really unbelievable. This is Channel 9 Live. But so now you're stuck with me. Sorry, man. But let's continue to talk. One of the questions I have that I really am curious about from an engineering perspective, what was it, how hard was this problem to solve? I mean, we seldom would really think about that. I mean, how much time did you spend on this? How hard was it to pull this off?
Well, fortunately, a lot of the really hard problems, I should say, we sort of outsourced to Jim and team.
We made a few lifestyle choices.
His hair's getting gray, man.
Not to say that our bit was trivial at all. No, it's a very large, very, very complicated project. And
I wanted to reach out and actually say thanks to Shane and Eric, who actually worked weekends. We started really, I would say, like around Christmas time.
Wow.
And so it really, really is a major accomplishment, and it's all working, and we're really proud of it. I think it's going to be a great product. We have a ways to go. I want to make sure everybody understands it. We really do have a way to go.
You also have to look at it, at least for me, like, because when I look at what we have today with regards to syntax coloring or syntax highlighting and a lot of the features, debugging and all that, like, literally right here, what you have is Jim's team doing some. First of all, we had a rocking runtime that we started with. Then Jim's team came in and said, okay, yeah, we're going to bring all the language support, the compilers, all that stuff. But we were building on top of Visual Studio, so all of the debuggers, the tasks, all of those things were there. Right, so they did some really hard work in a very short time. If you look at how much they accomplished, you know, it's not that long of a time. But it's because they were building on top of a very strong foundation. Visual Studio is extremely extensible. It's very flexible. And you, like, literally, I would see that, oh, yeah, we're going to get syntax highlighting next week.
Awesome.
And it was just like, oh, like, it's mind-boggling to think that they could do it.
Thank you to Bogdan for the language syntax colorization.
But to your point, outside the work Jim and team have done, our team has put in a ton of work to make sure that experience is really, really performant, really, really compatible. So when you scroll through UIs, you're not going to get lags and jitter and that sort of thing. Things are going to run really well, really fast, and they're going
to
look great.
And they really do.
Yeah,
I mean, if you
absolutely.
Saw the demos and everything, and you saw everything being mapped onto the DX stack, everything was really, really quick.
Yep. Yeah.
This early on, right? And so I think the only thing we really need to worry about from now until when this goes out is really stress testing everything.
Right,
making
on.
Sure that we really, really optimize and we get the right security attributes in the code.
We'll put Rich on it.
Yep.
All right, man. So thank you for asking questions. Nikita wants to know, can Objective-C access native Win APIs, a Win32?
Yep.
Or only WinRT?
You are writing a Windows application. Whatever you can call from a Windows app, you can call from Objective-C.
You can access both native C, that's how the runtime is implemented, and then WinRT, because again, we have the ABI, so you can get through both.
David wants to know, are you worried about Apple having a negative reaction to the release of this product?
I think, code reuse across platforms has been a thing since probably the first programming languages came out. And that's really what we're talking about, is it's reusing your code, you're the developer, and what you do with your code is your business. It's yours, you wrote it.
Absolutely.
I mean, right, it's on a client compiler. It's just, like, that's it. There's nothing beyond that. There's nothing in there that Apple can come back and say, oh, here's what we have.
You implemented our APIs, so,
yeah,
man.
Like, you know, it's like, all right, we have the same method. A button, it's called a button in about 6 libraries. So there's not much that you can go after,
sure,
right? And again, Candy Crush has been on the market for probably 5-6 months now. They were there before holidays, so you know, it's one of those things that we're not. I think the due diligence has been done. People can come and try the technologies, and I hope we can all collaborate because this makes it better for everybody.
Absolutely.
So you know, hopefully everybody will be happy with it.
Cool. So Rob wants to know, can you write in C# and VS, check in, then pull into Mac and compile native?
Say that again in slow motion.
Yeah.
Can you write? So he was asking if
can you write C# in Visual Studio, check in, then pull into Mac and compile native. So maybe if you are
using... I think he's talking about Xamarin.
Yeah. I think he's talking about Xamarin or...
This is Xamarin. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't the Xamarin talk?
Yeah. No.
Oh, shit.
Can Apple devs try this out using Visual Studio Code? No.
Right. Right now, we're just announcing support for Visual Studio 2015.
Yeah. I mean, Visual Studio Code, to be clear, is really a text editor that supports a couple languages with a deeper model, right. So debugging, yep. And et cetera.
Yes.
Can Apple devs try this out
using one.
Visual Studio Code? I already asked that. Which Objective-C features are available? Which Objective-C features are available?
Name them. Which ones aren't? Probably.
Which ones aren't?
Much shorter.
So we support everything.
Yeah.
We have Arc support through the runtime and the code generation. Everything with that works just fine. It just works. That's our value prop, right? We are able
locks
to get
work.
Yeah locks. All of the NS like classes and functions. Those are in. Like core foundation is in.
But I mean, Objective-C, the language, you have the Clang front end. So
exactly.
That's not really a question.
Yeah, and we've tested it pretty thoroughly with Clang's code gen for the few apps that we've been working with lately, and it works very, very beautifully.
Sensors, notifications, they do a lot of mapping too, like, because some things that you would think, oh, is this there? Because, for example, notifications is an API that you think about being platform specific, and local notification gets mapped automatically. In-app purchase is another one that they map automatically. So they actually literally listen to those APIs, implement it natively, and you can use your existing code without having to go there. So there's a lot implemented there.
Eric wants to know, does it mean it is now possible to port React Native to Windows?
I don't want to make promises or comment about source base I haven't seen yet.
No.
Maybe. Is that a fair answer?
That's a great answer.
Sure.
One of my favorite ones.
I think the answer is go to
aka.ms/islandwood, sign up, get the SDK.
And then let us know.
Yeah.
Right on.
And file a bug if it doesn't work. That's the right answer.
That's a great answer. So, can you explain something about the Candy Crush game that was mentioned? Was the current Windows Phone 8 version created with this tooling, or is this for an upcoming phone version?
So for Candy Crush, we did it for Windows Phone 8. It was hey, let's go try it out. Let's make sure this technology works. Going forward, all the new new language stuff we've done, and going forward, we want to focus on Windows 10. But Candy Crush was Windows Phone 8 just because we wanted to try it out, and we wanted it for the holidays, and there wasn't going to be a Windows 10 for the holidays.
Yeah.
So that's what we did.
And it works great. I play it too much. Which is weird. I mean, it's such a weird game, man. The people behind it are, they're pretty brilliant.
It's a couple $1 billion franchise, so I'm not going to argue between weird or not. I think they're laughing to the bank. So.
Absolutely. Can I write a native Windows app in Objective-C? Not porting, just writing native Objective-C instead of native C#.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole story. Again, we just compile top to bottom right to the code that runs and interops with their runtime. Just like you would write a C++ app.
Yeah, you can go into Visual Studio, you can go file, new file.
Yeah.
Add new item, make a .m file, go to town from there, absolutely.
But I guess the other way to think about this question is, what if he's really asking file, new, universal Windows app underneath Objective-C, and I write the whole thing in Objective-C?
We actually do have that behavior as well. Actually, one of the last things before we came here was one of our devs created a solution.
A template, I guess.
Yeah, a Visual template. Studio template to create an app that's Objective-C.
Exactly what you're describing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You can just press a button and get a bare bones Objective-C project.
So now, I have to say this. My own personal bias is I think Objective-C is like the ugly sibling of, I don't know, C and like Smalltalk maybe. I mean, you got this. It's an insane language.
It's nice in that it's a strict superset of C. It's nice from that perspective.
But you're that, but people are used to it.
If you have a keyboard, like there's scientific data that says the two least used keys on your keyboard are the brackets. So if you want to even it out, go to Objective-C once a year for a week, and that will wear it out enough that you'll be even for the whole year.
I'm a real fan of Objective-C. I actually like it a lot.
Now, the question I would ask you is why?
Let me attempt an answer.
Right.
The code people tend to love the most is the stuff they've written, right? And if they've already written stuff and it's beautiful to them, then that's the code we really want to help them bring to the platform.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's well said.
But isn't there sort of a cognitive mismatch between the way that you compose in Objective-C if you're coming at it from C? Even C, you spend all your time in C.
It's Objective-C.
Isn't it like a conceptual kind of strangeness?
It's still an object-oriented language just like C++, and it's a strict, I don't know if it's a formal superset of C++, but it's definitely of C. So I think that it's keeping in the theme of everything that we're supposed to be striving for in Windows 10, we're almost language agnostic. We're not religious about it, all the languages. Whatever you write, we'll generate the code for it. That's what we're trying to do, frictionless development for anything on Windows.
Great, and we need to wrap up. The most important thing is that we do love Objective-C. Visual Studio loves Objective-C. Windows loves Objective-C. Come on over and write some apps for Windows in your favorite language. Rock and roll. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.